T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I missed you.
I missed you more. I'm glad you're back in one piece, not in a body cast.
Me too.
Not with a limp or a cane.
Yes.
You had fun out there?
We did. Handsome husband and I took the kids out snowboarding to a friend who lives out in Colorado. It was a great trip. Happy to be back, and I'm a little sore, got to be honest.
But
not a kid anymore.
You're snowboarding and you're falling less, though.
Less,
right?
But my butt still hurts.
Yeah?
Yeah, my butt still hurts.
All right, I'll take your word for that.
Each time I get better.
All right. Good to have you back.
Yeah. So much to discuss with you. I missed you all. It was great fun. So thanks again for holding down the fort yesterday. When you were in school, did you get good grades?
I was an okay student, a B plus student, not a great student.
And you went to Penn State, but that's a good school.
It's a good school. It's hardly Ivy League, but the meteorology program had I had to pass, there were 3 physics courses, chemistry, and 6 calculus. And the calculus,
that's
Jordana,
hard.
Nearly killed me. They wanted to prepare you in case you wanted to go on for your master's or PhD,
right.
Which is all theoretical, all math. How we describe the atmosphere, it's all mathematics. So there was a lot of math, and it just about killed me.
When I worked for you at Weather Nation, you hired meteorologists, and they weren't all on TV. Many of them were, because we did produce shows, but some of them were, you know,
behind the scenes,
sure. That's right, researchers. And I was always the dumbest person in the room.
No, you were.
They are meteorologists by trade, I think, are very, very smart people. They really are. You're good with numbers, and you probably get good grades in school. Probably good students.
It's nice of you to say, but if we were so smart, why did we pick a dumb profession where we know we're going to be wrong much of the time?
Actually a really good question.
We like a good challenge, right?
That's actually a really good question. I know for a fact that Dan Cook is smart because John Williams' nickname for you, was it 38?
31.
31. Yeah. And just tell us why.
Because we all took the Wunderlich test, which is the test that they give like the NFL quarterbacks all the time to try and determine how smart they are. And I think I got
That's a good score.
On the show, yeah.
The highest score on the show.
31 out of 100 or no?
No. I think I want to say the max score was like 40 or something like that.
So
but
Dan,
the average was like 23.
Dan beat John.
Wow.
Yeah, Dan's smart. He's a smart guy. And Dan's good with facts and history and numbers, sports, things like that. Like, you were a good student then, right?
Yeah, I was okay.
He was an excellent student.
You've got a good memory. You did not do much partying as a young kid.
No, I didn't do much partying as a young kid. My memory is really spotty, though. There's some stuff that I remember really, really well that's crazy, stupid. Why does anybody remember that? And then then I'll meet somebody and I can't remember their name 5 minutes later.
Trust me, your memory is good. I have a great memory from the 70s.
Oh, boy.
That really does not do me much good today.
Boy. The reason I asked this question is because the Boston Globe had some terrific reporting about valedictorians. They followed valedictorians, people who did really well in school, and followed how their success in life followed. No, specifically the Boston Globe story, if you go and read it, it was valedictorians that came from underserved communities. It was kids that were socioeconomically depressed. It was kids that didn't have access to great schools, children of color necessarily. It wasn't just your average, you know, Paul Douglas
suburban,
Dan Cook.
Right. Suburban school district.
It wasn't. But the reporting, and I urge you to read the story, it was out of the Boston Globe today, was fascinating. It tracked 93 out of 113 Boston public school valedictorians. So it's public school valedictorians from 2005 to 2007. Today, 40% of them make less than $50,000. Which is, $50,000 is a nice salary, but you think valedictorian, we're thinking doctors and lawyers and CEOs and, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. They have this higher level of success that we expect from them. 1 in 4 fail to get a bachelor's degree in 6 years. Okay, so even if they might have had a full ride after the 4, they didn't get their bachelor's degree. Hold on 1 sec. Nearly a quarter aspired to be doctors, but none of them have a medical degree. All right, 93 out of the 113 Boston public school valedictorians. None of them have a medical degree. And four of the former students have been homeless. Now, again, these were kids from underserved communities. They had started, you know, from whether they were socioeconomically depressed, what have you. They had challenged backgrounds. But what it showed was the fact that even though their grades were amazing, there was still that level of whether it was family continuity or access to networks, you know, because Paul Douglas's dad had professional other dads or friends that you could call on when you needed a job. You know, Dan Cook's dad was a cop. He had a network. He knew people. There were other dads around, or moms. Sorry, I don't mean to be other parents around that he might have been. Hey, Dan, I'm going to go into communications. Maybe his parent knows somebody. That's what these kids were missing out on. The conversation is a greater one, and it has to do with grades. It's okay that you didn't come from a socioeconomically depressed background, but did your grades in school affect the success of your life? What do you think in your experience?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I really don't think. No, I mean, in school, they teach you how to learn. But at the end of the day, I think most of what you really learn, you don't learn out of a book. You don't learn from a teacher. Mm-hmm. You go out and you figure it out and you make mistakes. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of it is and I know a lot of people who are brilliant, but they can't complete a sentence. Right. They have no street smarts. Mm-hmm. They have no communication skills. And I think a lot of it is the network. It isn't just what you know. It is who you know and how you connect the dots and how you can put yourself in the right place at the right time, take advantage of the right opportunity.
I agree with that.
So it's not just SAT scores and, hey, I'm an A-plus student. I don't think that has a huge bearing on the rest of your life.
Then is there something to be said, and this is specifically for Dan because he was an excellent student, because you are always reaching for a better grade, you become a person who wants to do well and climb in your career.
I don't know if this is even necessarily the case. I think what school, and it goes back to Paul's point about, you know, school teaching you, you learn how to learn.
Right.
And I wish, at least in my education, and this isn't to knock any of the teachers that I had, but I wish that they had made a better point of that. Because you get into situations where I don't need to know how to do geometry, or I don't need to know how to, you know, and most people don't need to know how to use that kind of stuff. But understanding how that stuff works helps you problem solve in real everyday life stuff. And I don't know that I'm just talking about my education, maybe it's totally different now, that there was enough of an emphasis on, hey, if you understand how to do this, this is how it's going to help you in life.
Yeah.
And so this is important to understand how to do this, not because you're going to be able to figure out what this angle means in a triangle, you know what I'm saying, or what the Pythagorean theorem is, right? But but there are, you know, real-life applications, not for maybe specific things, but for the way that you go about solving these problems.
I do not consult college textbooks. The books that I used at Penn State, I don't have any of my high school textbooks. No. But again, I do give thanks.
By the way, they don't have textbooks anymore. It's all on iPads.
It's all on iPad, yeah. All right. Thanks, Grandpa. But I had
a chalkboard.
We had them transparencies. Remember the transparencies of the grease pencils?
The best day at school was when they wheeled in the VCR cart.
That's right. I wanted to be on that AV team.
Right.
But look, I had a great seventh grade science teacher, Jack Danner, and Dick Batzer, my ninth grade teacher. They were science teachers, and they made the weather unit come alive. They helped to get me interested in weather. And then I went off and started reading other books and looking at other resources and going to the library. Remember libraries?
Mm-hmm.
And
I get conflicted about how to you know, talk to the kids about the grades.
Right.
Like as a parent, now certainly looking at this study, boy, we hammer our kids. You have to do well on the test. You have to get A's or whatever. You have to do the best you can. If you don't do well, ask the teacher if you can retake the test. But I constantly question that, you know, isn't 80% enough? Are we going to be okay with that? Are we satisfied with that because you're struggling? Or do we go ask to retake the test or extra credit? I don't know.
Grades are important. It's always good to do your best with what you're given. But I would argue that go out, get an internship, do extra credit, go for an AP, an advanced placement in something, distinguish yourself, but go above and beyond. I think an internship, Jordana, then you really see what's really going on. And
I agree. And grades don't matter there unless it's to get you the internship.
It's
so
the foot
it might
in the door.
Be a means to an end.
It's the foot in the door.
That's
Once
what it
your
is.
Foot is in the door, then many times you can rise up through a company. But people say, I'm worth more than 25 grand or 30 grand. I'm going to wait. I'm going to sit on my hands. If you wait and wait and wait, you're going to miss the opportunity. Hmm. Just get in. Once you're in, you can move up.
Rob's on the line. Hey, Rob, jump in here. Hi, Rob. Oh, sorry.
Hey, Rob.
Okay, hey, guys. There's a great TED Talk from a guy named Simon Sinek.
Yeah, I love him.
50 minutes long. And he talks about millennials and the generations after that. And that part of it is that we taught them how to, because of technology, how to learn how to do. So people who are book smart become book smart. But I think what comes up is exactly what Paul is saying. In his talk, he also talks about the fact that we taught that you don't have to put an effort in. When we were kids, you had to get up and go to the video store and get a tape. Now you just sit on the couch and it comes
right
to you and you. If you want food, you press a button, it comes to you. That we've taught the generations now to not put an effort out because it's so convenient that you don't need to effort. Also, that coming in last gets the same trophy as first. So the generations, once they get out of grade school and high school and go to college necessarily, that doesn't care. College doesn't care if you come in last or first or if you show up. They'll take your money regardless. But did we do a wrong as parents in not showing our children how to live out of it? I mean, most kids nowadays, I say kids, even 20-year-olds come out of grade school and high school, they can't balance a checkbook because they're not taught. They can't, you know, these things that everyday life comes in front of them are not ever shown to them anymore, and they have to figure out how to do this. They get really disappointed when it's not an immediate gratification.
Hmm.
And it's kind of true. I mean, most kids can't balance their own checkbook or check
so,
their own bank account.
Rob, back to the grades part, though. You're saying getting good grades teaches them how to compete then? So it's a good thing to encourage them to get good grades?
Well, the good grades are, I think, according to the talk, well, I see, the grades are great when you have somebody who, like Paul said, doesn't necessarily have street smarts. They know how to read. They can book their things. But once they graduate from high school, reality sets in. That if you're book smart, you still need to be street smart. How do you fight to get ahead of somebody else? How do you fight to get advantage? How do you fight to excel? It's not immediately gratifying. And in Simon's TED Talk, he talks about how these guys get a job making $100,000 a year out of college, and 6 months into it, they want to quit because they're not exceeding. They're not excelling. They want immediate gratification. Where books is just somebody showing up, do the books, do the work, and you can succeed. But it's not how real life works. You can be the best person and not get the job.
Yeah, thanks for the call,
true.
Rob.
Hey,
appreciate
thank you,
it.
Rob. Great point.
Yeah, thanks for the, again. That's the disconnect between grades and life, and there is a bit of a disconnect there. We'll talk a little bit more about this in the 5 o'clock hour. Think about it and jump in on the conversation then. Jordana
that's
and Paul,
inappropriate.
Dan Cook at the helm. We were just looking at your texts because we're talking today. Well, right now. We're talking about how grades affect success. The Boston Globe did an unbelievable story about it's about valedictorians and how they fared in life.
You would assume being a valedictorian that you are pretty much set up for the rest of your life.
Right.
If you show that kind of leadership, right? Those
drive.
Kinds of skills, drive, mm-hmm. ambition at a young age.
Success.
You would think, connecting the dots, the odds of being successful in life – whatever that means. And it's not just money, right? It's
right.
Define success. How
of
do you
course.
Define success?
It turns out, now this Boston Globe tracked 93 of the 113 Boston public school valedictorians. These are public school kids, and most of them came from very modest means, whether they were socioeconomically depressed or I don't know if it was necessarily single parent or, you know, they were kids that a lot of them got full rides and some help through college, didn't come from privileged backgrounds is what I'm saying.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And no disrespect. They just didn't come from privilege. 40% of those valedictorians make less than $50,000 a year. And if you're looking at a monetary meaning of success, if you're looking at that, you would probably say you would expect a valedictorian to make more than that. 1 in 4 fail to get a bachelor's degree in 6 years. Nearly a quarter of them aspired to be doctors, but none of them have a medical degree. 4 of the former students have been homeless. Now, these were 93 valedictorians in the Boston public school area. Again, these kids had other challenges. A lot of these kids came from homes with domestic issues. They were still valedictorians, which is fantastic because
sure.
you don't need to be rich to be valedictorian in a public school. it's good to have family support. The study went, I mean, the story in the Boston Globe went on to say, if you have then family support, you know, kids with parents who know somebody to help you get a job, or maybe some financial support after college to live back in the basement so you don't have to get a job right away to look for a good job. They say familial support or just a village really helps along the way. But it kind of broadened the conversation here in the newsroom when we were talking about our show. How much do you think your grades in school attributed to your success now? And a lot of people would tell you, I mean, I'm looking back at the text now because we mentioned this in the 3 o'clock hour. This text says this: my mother always said there's a huge difference between an education and a education. Smart comparison.
I like that.
Yeah, right? Because, I mean, some people are book smart and they do really well in school, but, you know, there are other things that make a CEO or somebody a success.
Another person says, Jor, I'm way more interested in my kids' character developments and behaviors than grades. Grades are just a means to an end.
That's right.
So you're looking at the whole person. What kind of kids are we raising, right?
That's right. And that's what's interesting. I was not a great student. I wasn't a bad student, but, you know.
You weren't the teacher's pet.
I wasn't.
You didn't bring the apple. You didn't sit in the front row, raise your hand all the time.
Right. I wasn't a great student, but I was always very motivated, and I was very driven that I wanted to be a television news reporter. And thank goodness, or a reporter, that you don't, at that point in life, you didn't need a higher degree. So once I got into college, I was like, oh, phew, I don't have to work my butt off, because I worked really hard to get into college, into Syracuse. I wanted to go to the Newhouse School. And once I got in, I sort of slacked. And I was like, I just have to get through because I'm not going to any more school. I'm not going to graduate school. I'm not doing that. So I certainly paid attention to my television classes and my you know, reporting classes. But the other stuff, the math and the language, and I didn't really pay attention so much. So I would say necessarily that grades wasn't all that important to me. And if you measure success as to accomplishing a goal, like being a reporter or working in your field, while I'm not wildly successful, I have had success in my chosen career. I'm not rich or famous, but I have had success in my career. But, you know, so I think it's more hard work. You know, there are other things that make you a success. If you go where the jobs are and you move out of state, if you persevere and you don't give up. And one of the texters said something interesting, that good grades teaches that. It teaches you how to compete. Mm-hmm. And I thought that that was interesting, and that's a good way to look at it. Well, if you're not in the top of who got an A on the test, then other people beat you. And it's a dog-eat-dog world when you get to the business world or whatever your path is going to be. And that does kind of teach you competition.
At the end of the day, though, I think we all have gifts. I think every single individual has a gift, and part of the challenge, and that's on the part of parents, clergy, teachers, is finding, what are you good at? What do you love?
Absolutely.
What is your passion?
Yes.
And if you can get paid to do something you love to do. I got okay grades. I was a B-plus student. At the end of the day, what got me going was Agnes.
A hurricane.
Tropical storm Agnes that flooded our house.
In Pennsylvania.
Scared the holy crap out of me.
You had a passion.
Traumatized our family. We had to move out. I mean, it was a mess. And it was almost like a message. And it got me on track.
Yes.
Just studying meteorology.
You had a life-changing
event. Not
in school,
but I mean, going to the library and reading books about severe storms. And that just kind of pulled me in. And then I went to a state university and paid my way through college at Penn State by doing radio, weather on 11 radio stations. That paid my tuition.
And so you're not lazy either, Paul. So while maybe it wasn't straight A's.
You haven't seen me on a Saturday night.
And you weren't the valedictorian. Yeah. You were never lazy. You always worked. You always did something.
Yeah,
and that you can't teach. That doesn't matter about grades. You could have Fs and not be lazy and just have a different passion and work toward that.
But at some point, I think you just have to jump into the deep end of the pool, right? And I mentioned this at 3 o'clock hour. Internships, right? Be an apprentice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just get your foot in the door. Once you're in, you can actually do okay. But people wait, and they can't wait. You just have to jump in.
One of the texters writes, Jordana, what do you expect from your children then? And this is an interesting question. This is why I pitched it to the boys today, because I do put an emphasis on grades, because my mother did as well. And yet it gave me pause as a parent. And maybe you have kids that are 5, 10, 15, whatever years old. This study gave me pause because it's not always about the grades. Yes, the grades get you into college and maybe they teach you to compete. But the study gave me pause about what I think about. And yes, I do expect that my children get good grades, but maybe I need to change my thinking. And that's what I loved about this story because it shifted my perspective. Jean is in Woodbury. Jean, jump in here, love.
Hey, Jean.
Hi, how you doing? I just wanted to call. My daughter is going to be graduating this May after 3 years in college. Mm-hmm. And she was a student athlete and she pushed herself. But something that you were just saying, Jor, was my daughter is ADHD. And mm-hmm. she would study with the TV on, with her music on, and with something on her laptop.
Wow.
And I had to step back and say, if that's what works for her, mm-hmm. as long as her grades weren't suffering and she was passing all of her classes, actually she did very well in high school, mm-hmm. I had to let it go.
Good for you, Jean. What incredible mothering that is, to be able to see that and take a step
to
back.
To be that self-aware. Yeah. No, I agree.
It actually came from a friend of mine who was a teacher who said, why does she have to have the TV off? But so it made me step back. But, you know, she was able to do AP classes in high school and CIS in high school, and she pushed herself. So
fantastic.
But she's always worked. She's had a work ethic also. So it's really kind of neat what the kids will do on their own.
Amazing. Hey, Jean, where are you from originally?
I'm the Jersey girl.
I can hear it. I heard it right there. She said my daughter. I'm like, oh, that was my girl. There's my girl. Jean,
yes.
Great job. Thank you for calling.
Thanks
in.
For calling,
and mazel tov to your daughter for graduating.
Thank you.
You got it. She's right about that. It's that's what this study did. It kind of made me step back and say, okay, maybe I need to change up my expectations about grades because mine weren't great. What am I? I don't want to make my kids crazy.
I also wonder if some of it is, you know, like you hear the complaints about teaching to the test.
Yes.
That if you stress grades so much that that you lose sight of why you're learning this stuff, instead you just focus on what, you know, the specific facts and figures that you're learning.
That's right.
And so much of that doesn't necessarily serve you other than as random trivia parties going forward as an adult. But so much, you know,
if you get on Jeopardy or something.
Right, exactly. It's not the specifics of it that are so important as the processes you learn to problem solve throughout school. That's the important stuff.
Yeah.
If you're so, you know, zoned in on grades and making sure you get that grade point average and, you know, being the top percentile of your class, then maybe you lose a little bit of the forest for the trees.
I would argue the preoccupation with memorization still to this day, and okay, now we have iPads, when in fact, picking up what you just said, Dan, it's connecting the dots.
Right.
And knowing that you're not going to have a gig for 40 years. In fact, if you're a young person, if you're a millennial, you'll probably have two or three different careers and two dozen different jobs. So we've talked about this before, just constantly retraining, relearning. You're never done learning new skills. And you can learn those skills now online at home. So, yeah, you might still want to get that four-year degree, but even if you have a four-year degree, you're not done. You're just getting started, and you're going to have to keep learning new things for jobs that don't even exist
yet
today.
Your texts are fascinating. Hey, guys, I didn't pass high school, ended up getting my GED, later went on to college. I'm now on a six-figure career path. Good for you. Again, wow. If your measure is money, you are killing it. You're crushing it. Good for you.
I had C's in high school, no college. I make about $100,000 a year.
See, it's not this exactly. I mean, it proves that good grades aren't a measure of success. Perhaps valedictorians, guys, are more interested in intellectual, spiritual, or philosophical pursuits than making money or being in a corporate world or in charge of things. And that's it. It depends on your measure of success. You know, we as a society, we measure success with money, and we shouldn't. We measure
shouldn't
success.
Shouldn't it be balance? Shouldn't it be balance?
And satisfaction, and if you're doing what you love, and that if getting good grades got you there, then it worked. Dave's in Hudson. Jump in here, Dave.
Hey, can you hear me?
We can,
hey,
sir.
David.
Hey, well, I was just going to say that people that are good in school are good workers. They're not good entrepreneurs. school rewards people for following the rules and doing what they're supposed to do. Entrepreneurs that typically make a lot more money challenge the system. They challenge the status quo.
They tend to be rebels.
That's a good point, Dave. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the call.
Yeah. I think Steve Jobs would probably agree with that. Mark Zuckerberg and Bill Gates, who both dropped out of Harvard. Now, granted, they were smart enough to get into Harvard.
Yeah.
But they were bored. They were bored at Harvard. And they just, why am I sitting through class? I want to go out. I don't want to read about doing it. I want to go out and do it my way.
Mm-hmm. Average student in high school dropped out middle of my senior year. Fortunate to have a mentor, taught me everything. I make over 150 plus in my own business.
Wow.
And this one barely graduated high school. I'm a VP of a small business. Common sense and hard work. You guys are killing it. Thanks for sharing.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.